You're listening to A Little Breath of Scotland with Dennis Snowden on Prime Time Radio, AM 740.
And here, dropping in this afternoon, Alistair McIntyre, who's here coming around Ontario, having a little look, getting into Scottish history and finding out lots of folks, lots of stories and what have you. And again, for the general public, he will be at the Bow and Arrow Pub at 1954 Yonge Street in Toronto. That's just north, by the way, of the Davisville subway station. This coming Friday at 12 noon. And there is a $10 charge. $5 goes to the Scottish Studies Foundation, and I think we're going to have a little draw or something for the other $5, so you might get something out of that. But you're invited to come along, enjoy, and Alan will tell you all about, not Alan, sorry, Alistair, but you can call Alan McKenzie if you're coming along, so maybe have a rough idea perhaps of the numbers that are coming. So Alan McKenzie's phone number in Oakville is area code 905-842-2106. 905-842-2106. Again, we're talking this afternoon on A Little Breath of Scotland to Alistair McIntyre. And so after Ontario, where are you off to? Are you off home now, or are you where is home, by the way, now? Anyway, looking at your bio there, you've lived all over the world, I think.
That's for sure.
Where do you hang up your hat most of the time now?
Well, I'm actually hoping to head down to Kentucky, as it happens,
right,
because I wanted to do a lot of research on the Scots-Irish, because an awful lot hasn't been done, and basically down in Kentucky there's a huge number of Scots-Irish came up, mostly to do mining in that area. It's actually quite a poor area, but the people are fantastic, and there are tons of historical societies down there, and that's my idea, is really to really dig and dwell into that. But plus, I also want to go to a lot of the Highland Games there in America, partly because I feel that I can be an information source for a lot of them, tell them a bit more about the Scottish roots and the history and the clans and so forth. But I also want to disseminate the fact the site is there, because I'm quite sure, although it's very popular, there's probably a lot of people that still have never heard of the Electric Scotland site, so get the word out about that. Because I find the more people that get to know about it, the more volunteers I also get, which is always good. Because I've always got far more books than I can ever put up on the site, and luckily I do get a few volunteers that want to either type it in or OCR it in for me, and they send a chapter maybe every other week, and gradually we build up a really good collection of information. But plus, there's a lot of people with some really good stories about their ancestors that came, and quite often homes, there are actually accounts of those early settlement days. And they never reach normal members of the public. They don't get into libraries or anything. They're just sitting gathering dust. So I'm actually quite hopeful that I'll get some really good stories of settlement. That's one of the reasons for coming to North America, was to really find out a lot more. And I'd already found a book when I was in Prince Edward Island there a few months back. There was a very good book written about the settlement of Cavendish on PEI. But what I loved about it was he went into so much detail on the settlement that is missing. Most people say, we landed, we settled, and then they move on, and there's really no detail. But he described in some detail the fact that when he first landed, the forests were right down to the beach. And if you ever look at a natural forest that hasn't been touched, you'll see there's a lot of trees have fallen down over the years. And it's just a major expedition even to get 100 yards into the forest. But I mean, they had to go right through that forest to actually get to their lot where they were going to settle. And then he describes the process. You know, they had to get some kind of shelter up really quick. They had to clear at least some trees because the trees were so thick, hardly any sunlight was coming in. So he needed to clear some of those trees at least to get something planted in between the stumps. Then, of course, it was a long process to, you know, eventually clear the stuffs to get an actual field to grow on. I mean, it was horrendously hard work. And even the fact that the first year, I mean, in the winter, they had to dig wells to guarantee running water because it was the rivers were all frozen. And even digging that well was a major, major amount of work. And, of course, they really had to do everything themselves. I mean, they couldn't say, oh, here, we need a new pair of shoes. We'll just pop down the shop and buy some. I mean, they had to be made. But, of course, naturally, eventually, there were like these journeyman cobblers would come around to visit all the farms and do it. But then eventually they go through and say, we've got to have a church. And invariably the church became a school as well, although eventually they would build their own schoolhouses. And you could gradually see how the wee settlements started to happen. Because obviously the shoemaker said, hey, well, if they're all coming into church on Sunday, I may as well build a wee shop here, and they can come to me instead of me having to go all to them, you know. And so it went. Absolutely fascinating.
We have it really hard these days, don't we? one of the stops that you made in your stay here in Ontario, I understand you did pop into the University of Guelph. Tell us what you were doing there.
Well, basically, that University of Guelph is really to inspect the Scottish collection that they have there. And they have an absolutely wonderful collection of Scottish books. I was there to try and do a storyboard about it. And in fact, if you do go to my site, and you can go world, and you can, and then when you get to the world section, you'll see we've got Guelph there, click Guelph, and then from there you can enter that whole storyboard about the library. But they've just got a huge collection, like rare books. I mean, they've got thousands of rare Scottish books there, but they've got manuscripts like The Old Pretender, you know, Bonnie Prince Charlie's father, actually hand-wrote. And so you're touching the manuscript that he actually wrote on. I mean, you've got to wear some special gloves for that kind of stuff. But even I went into some, there's a box there with Blair family records. And when you go into it, there's a little notebook which actually is handwritten and is actually giving a history of some of the Highland regiments. I mean, they're almost first-hand accounts that are being written there. And I mean, it's like every box you open is like Christmas. You just don't know what you're going to find, and invariably there's something phenomenal there.
Do you think you're actually finding as much stuff in the new world as you would in the old world now?
In some respects, I'm finding more, because I think you make them more accessible here. I think there's a lot of barriers back in Scotland to getting to that type of antiquarian material. But certainly they were very open at the Library of Guelph. In fact, one chap emailed me to say that he'd been looking for the Campbell of Monsey papers, and he lives in Ontario. Well, he'd actually gone all the way over to Scotland, to Monsey Castle, to try and find out where these papers were. And all they could tell him was that back in 1903, they sold them for £1 a box, you know. And here's me writing in my weekly newsletter about the Monsey papers. It's wonderful. And in fact, I was coming down the library on Monday morning, and lo and behold, there was this guy that he was just opening the door, and he looked at me and said, "Are you Alistair McIntyre?" I said, "Yep." "Ah," he said, "I'm Brian Edwards. I'm the guy that made you about doing Campbell of Monsey." And he spent the whole day there and got a lot out of them. He said it was wonderful. And even since then, I've had several emails. People said, "We're going to the library. It's just marvelous." I actually took photographs how to get there. Because when I first went there and opened the door, I asked the wee girl at kind of reception place, "Where's all the antiquarian books?" She said, "I don't know." You know, so I asked someone else, and "I don't know." Then I asked someone, "Oh, yeah, they're down in the basement, you know." So in my little photo journal that I had, I've actually taken pictures of the door. You turn left in the corridor, you go along here. So there's no excuse to get lost now, that's for sure.
Well, Alistair McIntyre, we could go on forever. I do appreciate you coming in today, talking to us. If you like a little more in-depth chat with Alistair McIntyre, we do suggest the venue is the Bow and Arrow Pub, 1954 Young Street, just north of the Davisville subway station, this coming Friday, 12 noon, and you'll be more than welcome. And again, if you're thinking about going along or want a little bit more information, you can contact Alan McKenzie at 905-842-2106, and we'll repeat that a little later on in the program. But thank you, Alistair, for coming in, taking a little time out to talk to us here on A Little Breath of Scotland this Sunday afternoon. Happy Father's Day, and again, enjoy your little talk on Friday.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I much appreciate it.